A wonderful Wednesday to each of you, and welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Game 5 is upon us, but of course, there's plenty to discuss off the court as much as there is on the court when it comes to Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies. Sean Coleman here, DeMichael Cole here once again. The co-hosts are back together, but before we get going, snazzy theme song, we're ready to go. 3, 2, 1. It's Locked On Grizzlies.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, one and all. Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Sean Coleman here. You can find me at StatsSAC on Twitter. DeMichael Cole, it is a pleasure to have you back. You can find DeMichael Cole at DeMichael C. We'll get to DeMichael in just a moment, of course, with the news of yesterday. Of course, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, the show on all podcast platforms for free. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. And right here on YouTube as well, hit the subscribe button below. You will ruin DeMichael Cole's day if you do not hit that subscribe button. Look at him. He's trying to hold back tears right now just thinking of you not subscribing. You're ruining his day. All joking aside, welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, your first listen of the day. And the reason why is because we've got one of the best minds when it comes to Grizzlies basketball right here with me, my co-host, DeMichael Cole of The Commercial Appeal. And it's days like today where we love to get his perspective. DeMichael, obviously, we've got plenty to talk about. When it comes to game 4, you know, obviously very, very, you know, unfortunate ending to the game. But yesterday also contained unfortunate news, news that many of us had thought was going to be confirmed at some point in time. And, of course, we're getting to the news of Ja Morant. DeMichael, just the latest from that and just overall your perspective on the news finally coming to fruition.
I think the main thing is, you know, he's going to make a full recovery. They didn't say anything about surgery. So that more important than anything, you know, him avoiding, you know, surgery and expected to make a full recovery with no problem. That is the most important thing. Ja Morant is 22 years old. He's about to sign, you know, a max extension potentially this summer, and it's going to be worth a lot of money. We're talking upwards of $200 million. So his future to this team is tied in for much longer than these next couple of weeks. And I know that's hard for fans to accept because you get, you know, these big expectations with this team, and it's been a wonderful season, and I'm almost sounding like the season's over. But anyways, Ja Morant, I mean, he's such a big part of this team. And I said yesterday, Sean, you know, just seeing him walking around, my thought before that game was never, you know, people were asking me, does he have a chance to play? I was like, forget this game. Does he even have a chance to come back? Because we saw him at shoot around, Sean. There was no way he was going to play. It's no way. He had a very, very, you know, heavy limp. It just, even if he would have played, I mean, it just wouldn't have looked good. And the Grizzlies can't risk that, you know, especially we're talking knees. We're not talking shoulder or, you know, some other. We're talking one of the most important parts for a basketball player, especially a guy who plays like Ja Morant. So it's tough news. I just, you know, encourage, you know, the fan base, keep things in perspective. I know that's hard to accept, but the best way I can put it is, you know, think John Wall, think Derrick Rose. Allow this guy the proper time to heal. Grizzlies aren't going anywhere. The entire core is intact. Allow, you know, him proper time to heal. They'll have several more chances to get a crack at this thing, Sean.
And at the end of the day, there's a couple of different perspectives. I agree with your perspective 100%. For those who may not have known the specifics, Ja Morant was diagnosed with a bone bruise from late in game three that occurred this past Saturday in Golden State. Now, whatever you have perspective you have on what caused the injury, that's fine. We've rehashed that and rehashed that. But the point is that a couple of things are consistent here, and I think there's value in that. Number one, there's clarity. Right. I know that some around, you know, the fan base around, you know, national media, they were a bit, you know, I guess, flustered, frustrated that the Grizzlies were not specific about what the issue was with his knee. But the point that I'll get at is this, is that one of the reasons why the Grizzlies probably did not come out and say anything is they wanted to make sure. They wanted to make sure that once they did give an official designation of the injury, they wanted it to be clear. And now we've got that clarity. Now the teams know what, the team knows what they have to deal with moving forward. But the other thing that stands out to me, DeMichael, to your point, the Grizzlies have said all along, and even if some may not want to hear this, because I agree, there's no better time than the present. But the Grizzlies' focus all along has been the long term, beyond this year. I think it's clear that the Grizzlies know that their best opportunity to win a title, it's probably still in the future. I don't think that's facetious to say. I think that what it simply means is we've not seen the final version of this team evolve as of yet. You want Ja Morant to be as healthy as possible for as many chances as possible moving forward. I think it's the smart thing to do to not risk his injury long term by just going all in this year.
Yeah, and I mean, we just talked about, he's 22. You know, it's not 28 at the end of his prime, and you know, you're thinking, oh, it's not this year. The Grizzlies' window is about to close. That's completely different. All these guys, we talked about it all year, Sean. They're the second youngest team in the NBA. A lot of these guys are still on their rookie contracts, I mean, for crying out loud. So there's a lot to look forward to. And still, I mean, you have an exciting group, you know, heading into this final, heading into this game, down 3-1. You have an exciting group to look forward to playing. I mean, but it's been a tough run, you know, just this series, because there's a lot of, you know, would have, could have, should have in there. And it's, you know, especially with Ja Morant, you know, being number one. But I mean, Desmond Bane and you know, his health as well. So overall, I think, you know, Ja Morant's injury status, it challenges the patience of the fans, but the front office, they know what they have there. You know, they always, I mean, climbing in those guys, they always have to look at the bigger picture. And I think that's exactly what they're going to have to do with this. And you were right on the spot, because when you were talking about the diagnosis, because I remember when we were talking with them, they got the initial MRI, wanted to confirm some things with their doctors and do it that way. That was the first sign for me personally. And I think I said this yesterday too on the show, that when you try to get that second opinion, usually there's something going on, you know, there, I think. And that was kind of confirmed, you know, they needed confirmation. Okay, is this really what it is? Or is it something he could play through? Or is it something he could come back from really quick? And as they say, it's doubtful. So it'll be real interesting if they win this game and get to game six. We'll really ask Taylor Jenkins, because they didn't give a clear designation. They just said doubtful. We don't know how long doubtful is to return to the playoffs. Is that next week? Is that next month? You know, it'll be good to get a clear. I mean, of course, you know, it's highly unlikely he comes back. But just for timeline purposes, you want to get a clear, I guess, idea of what's going on there. But maybe they don't know, Sean. I mean, I think Kendrick Nunn, he ended up trending on Twitter yesterday. And I was wondering, I was like, why is Kendrick Nunn trending? Then it hit me. Oh, he had that bone bruise with the Lakers, missed the entire season. You know, people thought he was coming back in like December. Then it got bumped back. Then it got bumped back again. Then it was like, you know what? He's out for the season. So, I mean, I saw some doctors say some things. Hey, some bone bruises, a couple weeks. Some can be like Kendrick Nunn's. He missed the entire season. So, I think it's just something the Grizzlies do not want to play around with.
Absolutely. And the other thing that I'll say about this is that, you know, this just goes to show once again that the NBA Finals run for teams that make it to the finals, it's just as much luck as it is overall talent. That's why you rarely see the most talented team make it. It's basically, it's who wins the war of attrition, right? Yeah. And this is what nails it down. The Grizzlies at their best this season was when Desmond Bane and Ja Morant were cooking as one of the best backcourts in the league. Unfortunately, Ja Morant has been cooking all series long. We'll discuss that, obviously, as time goes on, how special he's been, especially in the first part of this series. But one thing, unfortunately, the Grizzlies have not had is the best part of the best version of themselves this year. That's a healthy Bane and Ja Morant, as both now have certainly been fighting injuries at some point during this series.
Yeah, it's tough to see, because you looked at that first round, man, Desmond Bane was an all-star level shooting guard. And then you're thinking, okay, this next series, Ja Morant, we talked about how they had a smaller front court. He's going to be able to get to the rim and finish better, and he did. And he's been shooting the ball well. So it's like, man. But Dez gets hurt. So both of those things, you know, you got a lot to look forward to. But you talked about it. It's the winner of the war of attrition. And who knows that better than Golden State, right? Golden State has three championships. Injuries were a big part. I mean, they were super talented all those years, not taking anything away from them. But they had some big breaks on the injury fronts each of those seasons. I mean, I remember in 2015, you get to the finals. Kevin Love didn't play in the finals. I think Kyrie got hurt in game one or game two. So they basically went against LeBron James and a bunch of role players to win that ring. Then I believe the next championship they won was the year where Kawhi Leonard got hurt in the Western Conference Finals, game one. Spurs were destroying Golden State in that game. Came back and won that game, beat the Spurs easily in that series. And then the other championship they won was the Chris Paul hamstring year. You know, I believe the Rockets were up 3-2. Chris Paul hurts his hamstring, and boom, Warriors win that series. And they also got their, you know, own downfalls as well. They've seen both sides of it, where it was Draymond Green getting the technical foul, and they blow the 3-1 lead in that series against the Cleveland, where he ended up getting suspended the game. And then they also, you know, lost Kevin Durant, lost Klay Thompson in that series against the Raptors. So you're right on, Sean. War of attrition is a big thing. It didn't work in the Grizzlies' favor this year, not just with Ja, but Desmond Bane not being 100%. These guys are young. I think, you know, a full off season. We'll see, you know, where they stack up next year.
100%. And the thing about it is this, is at the end of the day, again, you want to take advantage of every opportunity that you have, but you also want to make sure that you're not putting the long term in jeopardy. So at the end of the day, I think it's pretty clear that the Grizzlies are making the right decision. I can tell you, though, a right decision you can make, and that's making Athletic Greens a part of your day. What is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. And the great thing about it is that it's the tons of people take some type of multivitamin. And it's important to choose one with high quality ingredients that your body will actually absorb. AG1 is a small micro habit with big benefits. It's one thing you can do every single day to take care and to take great care of yourself. It costs less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. Athletic Greens has over 5,000 five-star reviews, recommended by professional athletes, trusted by leading health experts such as Tim Ferriss. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NBA Network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/NBA Network to take ownership of your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Listen, we can't thank you enough for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen of the day. Unfortunately, it's not been too fun when it comes to the playoffs, professional playoffs for the state of Tennessee. I know Memphis isn't Tennessee and all that different stuff. I get it. But of course, the Preds obviously eliminated from the NHL playoffs. But the thing that I'll say is this, is that if you want the latest in the NHL playoffs, make sure you check out the Locked On NHL podcast of your choice as your second listen of the day after Locked On Grizzlies. So, DeMichael, I know that you had plenty of time to discuss Dylan Brooks, but hey, I haven't got to talk about Dylan Brooks yet. The point that I'm getting at is that I do think it was the story of game four. It absolutely was the story of game four. I have said it time and time again. The best version of the Grizzlies this year is one that features Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks, in my opinion, at his best still, is one of the five most important players that can be on the court for the Grizzlies at any point in time. The problem is that the downside of it is certainly real, and we saw that in game four. His defense still is highly valuable, but Dylan Brooks, in my opinion, is a talented, smart enough player to be able to make the decisions to where his offense does not lose more value than his defense adds. And that's really what game four came down to. It was just, I know it was a frustrating experience. I understand why Taylor Jenkins stuck with him. But at the end of the day, you just cannot see that happen when it comes to Dylan Brooks.
It's tough, Sean, because this is the story of his career pretty much. You know, it's not like this is some, oh, he's flaking out in the playoffs or anything. This was the first round, too. We watched towards the end of that series what he had, the 1-of-10 game from three-point range. Then he comes back in the next game. I believe it was game six, the closeout game. He ended up fouling out, but he was 5-of-6 on three-pointers, and he kept the Grizzlies in that game in the third quarter. Remember, they went into that fourth quarter down 10. Dylan Brooks kept them in the game in that third quarter, 5-of-6 from three-point range. So that was the best. And we just saw a lot of the worst. And Taylor Jenkins did, you know, like you said, he stood by him. A lot of his teammates stood by him, too. He pointed to Dylan Brooks' playmaking, which I think has improved. Dylan Brooks talked about making that a point when he got back from his injury, the ankle injury. He said playmaking was something that he really wanted to focus on. He had 8 assists, and they kind of needed him to be more of a playmaker, right? Without Ja, he's one of those guys. I mean, you know, whether you like it or not, he can create, you know, shots. He can create shots for himself and others. So that is a skill that he has. Whether it goes in or not is a different thing. But he can get to the spots that he wants to get those shots. It's tough, Sean, because my thing was I had two things. One, if Dylan Brooks isn't taking those shots, who is? You know, that's the thing when you miss Ja. When Ja's not on the court, you don't have a lot of shot creation from the Grizzlies. And at the end of the day, when there's 6-7 seconds on the shot clock, somebody's got to make a move. You can't just keep passing it around the circle and do one move and hope, you know, a defender helps off of some guy. Because the way that game went is they weren't leaving Desmond Bane, even though he had the back problems and, you know, whatever was going on. They were very attached to him. That was the one guy I felt like you would trust in that situation. Tyus Jones, you love him spotting up. But when he gets in the paint, he's a smaller guy. And we know he likes to get to that floater. But there's not much else from finishing-wise with Tyus Jones when he gets inside the paint. The floater is automatic. I've written about it. But outside of that, you're not going to see him finishing up and around Draymond Green and things like that. It was a limited offense. Someone had to take the shots. Kudos for him to being that guy saying, I'll do it. Honestly, it didn't work out. And, you know, but if it didn't work out for him, all they were probably going to be doing is just passing the ball around the perimeter and trying to create opportunities for each other, which works sometimes but doesn't work a lot of times. The second thing was, John, yeah, Dylan Brooks, of course, he shot 5-of-19, and he took a lot of bad shots. Let me be clear about this. He took a lot of bad shots, but – Kyle Anderson shot 2-of-7 from the free throw line. Sean, how many times have we barked on free throw shooting and how it could hurt this team?
73 yeah. times.
Yeah. And it felt like it hurt him 73 times in that one game. 2-of-7 from the free throw line. So what's that? 5 missed free throws, you lose by 3 points? I mean, there's that. And then we talked about, you know, Desmond Bane. He's hurt. And I'm not, you know, I don't know how his body feels, but he's dealing with back injury. Back impacts your entire body. You're just not getting much scoring from Desmond Bane like you did in that first round. And then Brandon Clark as well. First round, he was automatic. I mean, people were talking themselves into him being more important than Jaren Jackson Jr. You saw it, Sean. I know I saw it. Whether we agreed with it or not is a completely different story, but we saw people talking it themselves into Brandon Clark being that guy. This series, he's kind of disappeared in a way. And credit for one, Draymond Green, as long as I've been here, Sean, covering the Grizzlies since December, I haven't seen someone block Brandon Clark's floater until I saw Draymond Green block it. And I think it was like game one or game two. That's when I knew Draymond, the IQ, you know, he has it because he timed it perfectly. And then I figured at that point, Brandon Clark is, you know, he's going to have to work a little bit harder this series because he usually gets to that floater so easy, and it just hasn't been there this series. So there are a lot of factors at the end of the day. But, of course, you know, Dylan Brooks, he's the easy fall guy, Sean.
Absolutely. And I understand that it's been there. Joe Mullinax over at Grizzly Bear Blues, as he's done for years now, wrote a wonderful piece, you know, talking about, you know, how, for better or for worse, Dylan Brooks has been himself throughout it, and it's helped the Grizzlies be where they've gotten. DeMichael, I know you've written about it. And it leads me to this point. 24 hours later, if you still are frustrated with the way that Dylan Brooks played, if you feel he is the most, you know, impactful reason why the Grizzlies lost game 4, I get it. I 100% get it. But I want to make this point, and I'm not going to elaborate on it because we got a, you know, whole offseason when that happens to elaborate on it. whatever feelings that last night or that game four made you have about Dylan Brooks and his short and long-term future with the Grizzlies, whatever outcome, whatever feeling, whatever your desire is for that to eventually resolve itself in the offseason, every single scenario that you can play out in your head with that thought process is benefited by Dylan Brooks playing a good game tonight. Yeah. So you have every reason in the world to cheer for Dylan Brooks tonight. Every reason. It extends the Grizzlies season. And obviously, for reasons that we'll get into whenever the offseason comes, it benefits those as well. That's one other key takeaway that I've got. I'm not trying to preach to tell people how they should view what Dylan did in game four. However you feel about that, that's fine. That's your opinion. But I can tell you one thing straightforward. At the end of the day, whatever feelings that you have about Dylan for the Grizzlies now versus the long term, whatever outcome you feel is best, it's benefited by Dylan going out and having a great game tonight. And for that reason, I think at the very least, that's a reason why we should certainly be cheering Dylan Brooks. Because again, the best version of this current iteration of the Grizzlies team is Dylan Brooks playing good basketball.
Yep, exactly. And I mean, someone pointed this out to me yesterday too. They said, do you not remember how excited this fan base was to get him back from that ankle injury? Do you remember that, Sean? I mean, people couldn't wait. It was February. It was early February, and people asked, when he's coming back. And it was early March. We you know, I remember seeing the story. I mean, the numbers on some of my stories. People were excited if you know, those things meant anything. But yeah, people were looking forward to his return. And that shows you the type of impact he can have. I think it's one game. It's an emotional fan base because you're so close. And then the way they lost, you know, it didn't help. I mean, the Grizzlies led the whole time. Pretty much, and it basically looked like he shot them out of the game. Well, they just missing some big shots, but he made some big ones too. I think it was an 82-81 game, and Golden State was right there. He made that big three-pointer, give them that cushion. He made a big drive and layup in the last couple minutes, I think it was, as well. He made a couple big baskets, but overall, you know, like you said, Sean, when he's at his best, his team's at his best. And I tell you what, without Ja Morant, they're going to need the absolute best of Dylan Brooks for the rest of the series.
100%. And you go out with the best that you have to offer. At the end of the day, even if you may not think that that's Dylan Brooks at times, I do feel that it is. I get people saying, why did Taylor Jenkins stick with him for 39 minutes? Well, because I do honestly believe Taylor Jenkins felt that at the time that this occurred, he was going to bring them the best chance to be able to get this done. You certainly hope that that may come more to fruition in Game 5. But before we get to Game 5, I want to talk with you a bit more as well about Built Bar. Now, listen, we talked with you about Athletic Greens just a second ago, and Athletic Greens is a great way to make your day better as you start making it. But I will also start having it as a part of your daily routine. But Built Bar needs to be there as well. It's a great energy boost to your day. It tastes like a candy bar, but is a great healthy snack. DeMichael, I mean, I don't know if you would have it in the morning for breakfast or in the afternoon as a snack, but I'm sure you can tell us it's a great addition to your day.
It's a wonderful addition, Sean, and I like it in the afternoon. Now, you know, I started off with the white chocolate cookie and cream, but I'm liking the puff. Sean, have you checked out the puff yet?
I've checked out the puff. The right cookies and cream is very good as well. They're all very good additions to your day. But the great thing is also, if you go to Built.com right now, you put in the promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your next order from Built Bar. Again, go to Built.com, put in the promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your next order from Built Bar. I'm going to tell you this with my heart of hearts. On the next edition of Locked On Grizzlies podcast, I want to be talking about a Game 5 win going into Game 6. I am confident there is a good chance that could happen tonight. We'll discuss that in just a moment. But on the latest edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast tomorrow, either myself or DeMichael or both of us, we are going to be talking either about looking forward to Game 6 or the first day of the offseason arriving. Do or die for the Grizzlies. They got nothing to lose. That's the exciting part of Game 5 tonight, but that means it's an exciting part of Locked On Grizzlies tomorrow because you don't know what's coming, but we'll have the latest for you here at Locked On Grizzlies. So, DeMichael, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, typically I love getting into the specifics of Game 5, and we will hear a little bit, but I also think that this is just a situation where you don't reinvent the wheel. what you did, your style, your game plan worked for 46 minutes last time. And I know that we're sounding like Minnesota Timberwolves fans from last series, but the defense worked. Featuring size worked. Offense was a bit off because they couldn't find their consistent shot. I don't think the Warriors are going to struggle as much as they did in game five, though they may. But if the Grizzlies go out there, focus on defense and winning the possession battle and put together as good of a game plan as they did for 95% of the game, I don't think you change up much. You just make smarter decisions at the end of the day, and you make freaking free throws. That's what the changes that you make.
Yeah, Sean, I agree with you, but I'm going to add something else on here as well, because yes, you defensively, you want to be the communication difference from game three to game four was tenfold. I mean, it was completely different. That was the reason they stayed in the game. That was the reason they had every chance to win that game. They were communicating. And what I mean by communication is think about in game three, all those plays where two Grizzlies players went to one Golden State player after a screen, and you either had a wide open three-pointer or a wide open layup to the basket or alley-oop and all those things. A lot of that was not available for Golden State. Golden State did miss some shots, but the Grizzlies made them work for everything. Yes, you do that, Sean. But as far as schematic and principles and maybe even to a slight degree, you know, some rotational things, you got to switch some stuff up a little bit, because game two, Taylor Jenkins said it came right out of his mouth from game two to game three when the Grizzlies got blasted by 30. He said, we basically stuck with the same game plan from game two, didn't make any adjustments, and they made adjustments. Golden State, Steve Kerr, he's going to look at that film. He's going to find some things. Oh, they're playing Steven Adams more here. How can we attack that? How can we attack this? How can we adjust, you know, to Steven Adams, you know, getting six offensive boards, 15 total rebounds? How do we offset that? How do we offset Dylan Brooks' defensive capabilities? How do we possibly, if they want to force Dylan Brooks into even more shots, how do you take away other guys to even force him into? They're going to have different answers in this game. Taylor Jenkins has to be a forward thinker, looking, saying, hey, Steven Adams had 15 rebounds in that game. They did not see it coming. They're going to game plan a little bit more around him. If they do, let's do this. That's how he has the plan in this game. And if they do that, Sean, I think they'll win. But you know, they can't be too stale. If they stick exactly with, hey, what worked, Golden State's too good. It'll be over.
Absolutely. And in this game, if my calculations are correct, the Grizzlies did a much better job in game four than they did in game three. They were 31 of 61 inside the arc. So the point that I'm also getting at is that one other thing that I would change is if you are playing good defense, if you're playing good defense in this game, prioritize going back to your strengths. You don't have to shoot 35 threes when you're playing defense like we did in game four. Prioritize the twos. And I know that Dylan took some ill-advised threes. I understand Jaren did as well. But those guys, you want them to be able to make threes. But in a game where your defense is making life tough on the Warriors, go with the high percentage look as much as possible. I know I keep preaching that, but it's about making as good a possession, or it's about getting as good of a shot opportunity every single possession. Step back threes are fine if they go in, but taking on a better opportunity to get that 2-point shot, that can make all the difference in the world as well, especially if it's a defensive struggle once again.
And they have a lot of players who can do it. Zaire Williams in transition, you know, I've said it time and time again, him running the wing, he's elite at that. He creates a lot of easy transition opportunities for himself and for his teammates just by getting attention. Tyus Jones creates a lot of easy opportunities when he penetrates into the paint, even when he's not getting to that floater. He's creating opportunities for his teammates and things like that. Dylan Brooks created some opportunities for his teammates as well when he was, you know, in pick and roll and delivered some nice passes in that game. Steven Adams, six offensive rebounds. The ingredients are there, Sean, for them to have, you know, a better night. I don't think they're tooled right now to blow Golden State out of the window offensively, but they're good enough by any means, because they pass the ball really well with this lineup. and they're going to play really sound defense. And if you put those two things together, they're going to have a really good shot.
Absolutely. And another thing that stands out is that the Grizzlies overall, I've been impressed. Let's put it this way. I want to make something very clear. I know that the Grizzlies gave up the lead in game four. I know, and I've said it, the giving up that lead should be more impactful in terms of disappointment than any type of moral victories from game four, right? It should be with where this team is because they expect to be better. They expect to win those type of games. But if they can at least keep their defensive intensity going for the first quarter, but yet make smarter shots, set the tone early in this game, I think that they can ride that wave to a victory. I do think the Grizzlies are fully capable of making this go six games at the very least if they play defense early on, but also take smarter shots. All this stuff that we're preaching, do it at the beginning. See if Steven Adams can add a bit of, you know, flair, getting you some extra possessions and get a better performance from your offense starting out. If you could do that, I think they could set the tone early and win this game.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, Sean. The thing about it is Taylor Jenkins, you know, the style that they play offensively, it lends itself to easy opportunities. When you're running the way that they like to run, you play with the pace, they're going to get easy transition opportunities. The only problem with that style is sometimes when you play such a heavy, frantic style that's centered on pace and you know, get in transition, when you're stuck in a half court those last 2-3 minutes of the game and you don't have Ja Morant out there, when that pressure, you know, because the Warriors ramped it up in that last couple minutes, things get tough. And even the players said it, Taylor Jenkins said it, they were forced into some shots. They learned from that situation now. You go into this game, you just take better care of the ball, lay down, stretch. I'm with you, Sean. You know, just do what you did from an effort standpoint the exact same way. Defensively, they were super sound. They did not – I mean, Curry is Curry. You know, the big fourth quarter he had, he probably was due. I mean, you kind of contained him for three quarters. But Jordan Poole, Klay Thompson, those guys, they kind of did really good jobs on them. And if you keep that mentality, at least trying to hold at bay two of those three guys, you got a really good chance. And keep those other two guys, Otto Porter and Andrew Wiggins, they have been terrors on the offensive glass. But playing a little bit more Steven Adams should help with that.
Absolutely. And I'll end on this point. The Grizzlies, they don't need any more motivation. They know what's on the line. If they want to continue playing basketball, they've got to win the next three games. But the point that I'll make is this, Michael, and I'll be done. Sure, many like that idea. But the point that I'm getting at is this. Coming into these playoffs, one of the narratives that I felt was very, very important to point out. You know that you have Ja, Jaren, and Desmond. You know that you're going to have those guys for future playoff opportunities. You're going to need those guys to play to their full capabilities. Who else is going to stand out? Who else is going to make sure that they make a point that they need to stay on whatever the true contender of this Grizzlies team is long term? We've seen different versions of successful series. Brandon Clark, Tyus Jones in the first series, De'Anthony Melton at times this series. Who can stand out in the biggest game of the year for the Grizzlies without Ja Morant? Who can stand out and prove the point that they should clearly be in the long-term plans for whatever the final version of this team is years down the road? That, I believe, is clear motivation for every single player in this game who's going to get some playing time to make the most of it. And that's one thing that I'm looking forward to. Win or lose, at the end of the day, I want multiple players. I want Zaire Williams and De'Anthony Melton to show, hey, in the biggest game of the year for the Grizzlies, they were the difference makers to at least put us in the chance to win or allow for us to win. That's the type of conversation I want to have after game five.
Yeah, and you should be able to have that conversation. I mean, in a way, it's a trial period for a lot of guys. It's a trial period for Tyus Jones, who's set to be a free agent. It's a trial period for Kyle Anderson, who's set to be a free agent. It's a trial period for Zaire Williams and De'Anthony Melton, because there could potentially be a starting wing spot, you know, available at some point. You know, we've talked about all this time how the Grizzlies need a three, and Dylan Brooks has been great, but we know those other two guys, Ja and Dez, are set in stone. If Dylan is your guy, possibly, but Zaire Williams has had some really good moments. If he takes imagine if Zaire Williams takes a jump like Desmond Bane did, but a lot of things to look forward to, but it starts here. It starts right now. This series, I think about all these other teams, you know, Golden State, for example, how their core had the runs in 2013 and 2014. I think they lost against the Clippers in one of those years, and maybe both, but losing those series before getting to that championship level, all of that is important for these teams as you head on this run. Maybe this is what the Grizzlies need if they lose. You know, if they win, you still keep playing and you know, you keep building on just this strong core that you have in place. But if they do lose, you know, you have a strong foundation there, and you know, you're getting tons of experience against a championship caliber squad.
I know game three certainly was a blowout, but in the other three games,
yeah,
the Warriors have won by five and the Warriors have won by a total of four. At the end of the day, they're up 3-1. Listen, I know we could easily be up 3-1.
It could be flipped.
Exactly. The Warriors have done a better job of playing a full 48, but none of that matters. Get the win tonight, see what happens, and let's go from there. His name is DeMichael Cole. You can find his work at The Commercial Appeal, my co-host here at Locked On Grizzlies. Very lucky to call Mr. Cole my co-host. My name's Sean Coleman. You can find myself at StatsSAC, the show at Locked On Grizz. I don't know why I just did that, but it worked. And then, of course, right here on YouTube, hit that subscribe button below. For DeMichael Cole, whatever. My name's Sean Coleman. It's a pleasure to be with you as always. Hope you have a great day. Go Grizz again. Could be quite a bit of difference in potential outcomes for tomorrow's show. Let's talk about another win on tomorrow's edition of the show. Have a great one. Go Grizz. Talk to you soon here on Locked On Grizzlies.